Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show.
Fair but firm.
With the Hall of Fame boxing referee.
I'm Joe Cortez.
And co-host John Zamel. In English and Spanish for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.
Hey, welcome to the Fair but Firm Show here. Joe Cortez and my sidekick, my co-host. I don't like saying sidekick. My co-host, John Zimmel, was really one of the top guys, one of my dear friends.
Well, thank you, Joe.
And is always ready to go. He's one of the guys. If he was in boxing, I'd make him a champion without a doubt.
You already made me a champion.
Yeah, because he's definitely on top of his game and the kind of guy we love. And you guys love John Zimmel. You know me, guys. I'm always out there helping wherever I can. And this one will be my next protege. Maybe not in boxing, but in life.
Probably not in boxing.
He's probably one of the guys on the right track. And I'm going to help guide him in the right direction, like I've done with so many other referees out there and other folks in the world. We make some mistakes. We learn from mistakes. I made them. It made me better. We're all going to make them. But you know what, John? In boxing, if we know that, in boxing, we all make mistakes. A lot of fighters make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And this past Saturday night, we had a couple of fighters, but especially Jesse Malinago.
Mm-hmm.
Malinago?
Magdaleno.
Magdaleno.
I know, yeah. Hey, Jesse Magdaleno's been a stud, man. He was undefeated for a reason. He's been a great fighter. We've had his brother on the show. It's a great family. It's a great fight family. And but Isaac Dogbo,
man,
he's a real deal.
Isaac Dogbo came out of nowhere. He's a fighter from Ghana.
Yeah.
Fighting out of Great Britain now. And I remember there was a fighter, John, named Asuma Nelson. Asuma Nelson, back in the 70s, actually in the 80s and 90s, I refereed him against Jeff Fennec here at the Caesars Palace at the Outdoors Arena, and it was a fight. Asuma Nelson is one of the great ones, a nice gentleman. I see him almost every year at the International Boxing Hall of Fame. That's coming up next month, actually.
Oh, my God.
The
soon,
Hall of Fame,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
And Asuma Nelson was one of the first, if not the first, featherweight champion in the welterweight division and the featherweight division. And I can tell you that this guy, Dogbo, Isaac Dogbo, really showed Saturday night the way he handled Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse had him down in the first round.
Yeah. No, look, Jesse's a great fighter, man. He is a great fighter.
And you know, that one loss is just a learning experience.
Exactly.
You know, you go back to the drawing board and you say, you know what? I made some mistakes. I can make some adjustments. But that's what this kid, Dogbo.
Yeah, it's his coming out party, man.
He came out really strong. He was very determined. And you can see.
He let the world know he's ready, man.
Oh, yeah. He had great boxing skills. You know, his father had been training him from day one. For Ghana. And he had him fighting at the Olympics. And the kid's got so much talent. Looks strong for a featherweight. And
I think it was a fun Saturday of boxing, man. Speaking of Olympics, we get a kid, Daniyar Yelusinov, who he's finally made his long-awaited debut. People say he's the finest guy to turn pro since Lomachenko. He was a gold medalist last Olympics, and he came out and he looked really good against the kid who will never know his name except for that he fought Daniyar Yelusinov the first time. But Noah was his name, and he looked great, man. He was sharp. He was fun. He's swimming in those 147 waters.
Yeah.
But he looked like a Lomachenko type, where he came out ready swinging and ready to take on good fighters.
I like when he tapped the glove.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pop, 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 pop.
He's a southpaw. Put the guy away, man. Like, wow.
He was a great fighter, man. Yeah. I'm excited to see what the rest of his career holds. Eddie Hearn's already got him ready to make his next fight, I think, in July in the UK to show off that UK Matchroom audience that, you know, they have.
Yeah, but he got to be careful when he goes like that with the gloves. They're going to let the guy know the punch is coming. Next guy, if they clash the gloves.
It's coming. It's like watching Karate Kid. The next guy that guy fought, well, as soon as he does this, he stays away.
But he looked like an outstanding fighter. Then, of course, we had Danny Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
Who looked outstanding again.
He did. He proved once again that he's in the very top elite of that middleweight division, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He fought Maciej Sulecki.
Sulecki looked great.
By the way, Sulecki did look good.
He's a Polak that came in with some style. I mean, this guy really showed that. You didn't see many Polish fighters that come in to fight the way he did. I mean, this kid had it all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's in the top tier with the middleweight division. This guy, he took everything that Danny Jacobs gave him, and he has a punching power. He had good boxing skills. He was not crazy. He was not wild. And had great conditioning. If it would have been somebody else other than Danny Jacobs, he would have won Saturday night.
It just goes to show you how deep the middleweight division is, because we know the stars. We know Triple G. We know Canelo. We know Billy Joe Saunders made his splash last year against Lemieux. And we also know now that Jermall Charlo belongs in that conversation big time after what he did last week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just goes to show you, guys like Sulecki, guys like Kell Brook, guys that you know what I mean, that other right there. You know, Danny Jacobs is definitely in that top tier. But it just shows the depth. It makes the middleweight division look fun for the years to come.
Exactly.
Even once Triple G retires.
Yeah. Well, now, Triple G is 35 years of age.
So now you got to start thinking about your end game.
Yeah. So we know that the other guys that are right behind him, they're all right there. Either one of those guys that we just mentioned, any one of them could be world champion in the very near future. So you're going to see this happening soon. The middleweight division is something
else. It's exploding. And that's the problem. That's one thing is, we're going into this. It's this weekend, right? May 5th is finally going to happen. Now, we know everything that happened with Canelo. We don't want to go over it again because we've done it too many times. If you're watching the show, you probably definitely know what's going on. So we know that fight, everything's on hold till that fight goes through. Once that fight goes through, 2019 might just be the year of the middleweight when everything just kind of explodes. And we've been saying that with welterweight because we've been waiting. All these fights have been set up for welterweight division. But the middleweight division might, once September 16th happens, although he's got to get through this test on Saturday.
Well,
first.
Saturday night's not easy because of the fighter he's fighting.
Vanes Martirosyan.
Vanes Martirosyan. You got
on
that?
May 6th, you can all forget that name. Don't worry. You never have to say
but
it.
But you know
again.
What? You may keep that name in mind because anything can happen in boxing.
You're right.
This kid the other night fought Danny Jacobs, you know? I mean, he could upset Jacobs easily that night.
Yeah.
He had also anything can happen in boxing. Unknown fighter like this kid, Dogball, who beat Jesse Malinero.
Magdaleno, I think.
Yeah, and Jesse was so surprised. So was the whole world. I mean, we were not expecting his fighter name, Isaac Dogball, you know, to knock out, stop Jesse.
Stopped him.
I mean, Jesse had him down the first round, but you know what? Anything can happen in boxing.
You're right.
So I hope that that Canelo is watching and won't get hurt. But if Triple G gets stopped, like, hey, Luis Ortiz, he fought Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, almost ruined the party.
Yeah, and Deontay Wilder was almost out.
Yeah, everybody acted like it was all just,
everybody like, oh, what?
Well, everything in the middle, heavyweight was about to shake up.
They go to Anthony Joshua fight. With Wilder.
Yeah, it's $100 million down the drain.
Yeah, so this can happen very easy Saturday night with Triple G if he loses to this kid.
Yeah, and look, Martirosyan, he's wow, that's a mouthful. But he, he's fought some great fights, man. He's fought, he fought against Arislandi Lara, fought him to a draw. Lara, who's had a foothold on that division forever, well, the division below it.
Yeah.
He's fought a ton of people. I mean, he's a lot of good guys. He fought Charlo, Jermell, the younger one. Now, unfortunately, he's not a natural middleweight. He's a natural light middleweight. So he's moving up a little bit, and he hasn't fought in 2 years, coming off a loss to the same Lara. But at the same time, anything can happen. I mean, like you said, this guy's fought top-tier fighters. He's used to fighting top-tier fighters. He's fought in Vegas. He's fought everywhere. So come May 5th here at the in Carson, California, StubHub Center, you're going to see anything can happen. So, and plus, it's just gonna be fun watching Triple G do what he's done forever, which is just kind of go off, man. I mean, he's a stud.
Yeah. Hey, you fans out there watching? You got somebody out there who's watching out there, Charlie?
Dalin.
Oh, Dalin.
Dalin. Hey.
Hi, Dalin.
Hey, keep watching. Keep your guards up at all times. Hey, remember, I'm fair but I'm firm. Dalin, listen. You know what? We know you're doing a lot out there in the community. We're helping out here in Las Vegas. With the community, we got the program going with the doctor's program coming up soon.
Give my love to Bill, please.
Yeah, there you go. Bill, keep your guards up at all times.
Yeah, never know. Nice talking. Oh, man.
Anyway.
Hey, I'm excited for, I'll tell you what, man. This weekend is going to have a lot of good things. We got to, not to mention, the thing I'm most excited about, to be 100% with you, as excited as I am to watch Triple G do what he's done for years and running that middleweight division, I'm excited to see the return of Roman Chacolotito Gonzalez. This is a guy, I mean, you know better than anybody.
Hey, man, he was up there two consecutive years, pound for pound, the best
Ring
fighter.
Ring Magazine had him 2015 and 2017.
Pound for pound, the fighter of the world, number one. And all of a sudden, 6 months later, he's out of the rankings.
They were talking about him retiring. He loses a controversial, very controversial, and with good reason, fight to Srisaket Sorungvisai. And then Rungvisai in the rematch Just demolished him, man. I mean, really, I mean, tough liver shot, knocks him down, then knocked him out.
Never heard of the guy, Ribbonsai, from a fighter from Thailand. I said, these fighters from all over the world are just popping up all over. It goes to show what was happening out there. You know, I was out recently in Spain giving a seminar to referees out there. That's starting to develop out there. I mean, it's all over the world. They go, you know, they're all developing good talent.
Yeah, man.
The European fighters.
It's crazy. You look at these, especially in Asia.
Yeah.
You look at, I mean, Ribbonsai is the man in Thailand right now. You look at Noye Nuye in Japan. He's a rock star. Like, he walks the streets in Japan, and he's like a god there.
Hey, I know a rock star here in Vegas. This guy right here. My man, John.
Please be me. No, man, it's crazy all over the world.
Yeah.
But Nicaraguan god, Roman Gonzalez, is coming out, and we're going to see what he's got, because he's fighting the guy, Pedro Guevara, who's been the number one ranked light flyweight, for the last year or 2 years. And now they're going to be fighting at super flyweight, which is, you know, that's where the money's at right now, because HBO has put a lot of attention on the super flyweight division.
Yeah.
So that's why if you're around there, if you're within 10 pounds of that, you got to get to super flyweight and see what you can do.
Yeah, hardly know what it's talking about the middleweight division as far as Canelo Alvarez is concerned. And as you guys know, recently he just tested positive, but they did a recent test on him.
Yes.
And the hair test, and they found out there was no clenbuterol in his hair at all. So that means that the levels of what he had in the system was very low. So that's just so you fans out there know, they're going to be kind of publicizing a little bit more that he did not have that much clenbuterol in his system.
Which, just so people know why that matters, is because his defense from the very beginning is that he did not intentionally ingest this substance, that he got it through meat, which has happened in the past in Mexico. And so there's been a lot of doubters, as there always is, but this is big. This is great news, and it goes to support his defense that this was an incidental ingestion.
Well, you know, he still had to come clean and say, you know, it would take responsibility for whatever was in the system.
Exactly.
And the Nevada Commission accepted that, and it was just a ruling, and they went along with it.
A lot of people understand, Nevada Commission changed the rules, 2 years ago, to say whether it was intentional or unintentional, you are responsible for what goes in your body, and you will be punished as such, regardless of...
And they did the right thing.
Undeniable.
So we'll see the fight, hopefully, in September.
Yeah, as long as Triple G gets through this test against Martura Sayan.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at saying that name. The more I say it, it's easier to say it. And
I tell you, it's almost like learning a second language, man.
It's really tough, dude. I'm telling you, since we've been doing this show, my tongue is I got arrested.
It was like the Klitschko brothers. I couldn't even read the name Klitschko.
That's but now Tali, it's way tougher.
And now Ribbonsai.
Ribbonsai, Yelusinov. These are names we've said today.
I mean, I tell you, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the thing is that boxing is definitely on the upswing right now.
Speaking of on the come up, we got a kid May 4th coming, you know, the day before Cinco de Mayo. Ryan Garcia, I'm sure you've heard the name because he's Golden Boy's new stud. And he's coming in. He's going to fight, it doesn't matter. But he's going to fight a tough fight against somebody on the day before that in California. And guys, watch him. He's an up-and-comer. He's got a million-dollar hype machine behind him like they always do, but for a good reason. The kid is fast. He's handsome. He's exciting.
Yeah.
He's going to be a force to be reckoned with for a long time, man.
Well, he's going to be like another Oscar De La Hoya.
I mean, that's what they're hoping.
I mean, Oscar was a young up-and-coming rising star, good-looking, good-looking stud. He had it all, Olympic champion and whatnot. And Ryan Garcia, it looks like he's following the footsteps.
Yeah, he looks. I mean, they tried it out with Canelo Alvarez, as in like putting all the money behind him. We saw what they could do, and then this is a second try at that. This is this is the second guy the second prospect they've had who has that much potential from the jump. And so we're excited to see what they can do with it.
The
kid's the real deal.
You know, you're talking about your up and coming fighters. I got to go way back to the guy that got me started in boxing, Gaspar Ian Ortega. A young, handsome, welterweight from Tijuana, Mexico, came up to New York back in the 50s and ended up being a top contender and never really got the shock. Boxing was controlled by the mob back in the days, so he was not able to get the title shot when he deserved to get one, even though he beat Benny Kid Perret when Perret was champion. It was a non-title fight, and of course he beat Perret, and they won't give a shot to Gaspar. Emil Griffin gave him a shot later on, but Gaspar Ortega was one of the first Mexicans ever to come out of Mexico to fight here in the United States.
Which is crazy now look at the state of boxing now.
If you look at the state of boxing, not, but you got to take your hat off to Gaspar Ortega, who's still in good health. His son, Mike Ortega, the referee, that's his son, my godson. And Gaspar Ortega, we take a hat off to you. God bless you always. Your beautiful wife, Ida, and the family, Renee, Martha, the whole family. They were all great guys.
That's awesome.
But Gaspar Ortega, remember the name? Chico Villa was one, but Chico Villa was from the States here. I'm talking about a transplant from Mexico to the United States. The first one was Gaspar Indian Ortega.
That's exciting, man.
Had 180.
Blazed the way for a lot of other Mexican fighters.
Yeah, had 185 professional fights. Yeah, 185.
We haven't even done 185 podcasts, and I'm tired.
If you look at the box rec, you'll see Gaspar Ortega in 1 year. 1 year, he fought 27 times,
that's
okay?
Too many times.
There were some weeks that he was fighting two or three times a week in 1965. Check it out. He retired in 66.
That's crazy.
And only he got stopped twice.
I mean, you know what's funny is we were just talking about Errol Spence trying to fight three times this year and how good that is to be that active.
Yeah.
And you think back then they were fighting, 15-round fights 20 times in a year?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just bananas.
I mean, Gaspar Ortega, he would fight Tony DeMarco in Madison Square Garden 3 weeks later. They're having a rematch 3 weeks later. Same thing with Isaac Logard and so many other fighters. Emil Griffith gave him a shot at the title, but Gaspar already had 81 fights under his belt. They figured, well, he's already kind of burnt out. Maybe now we can go after him. Still, in that fight, I mean, Gaspar gave him a run for his money. But in the first fight he had with Emil Griffith, he gave Griffith his first title, first main event in Madison Square Garden. One judge gave Gaspar Ortega 8 out of 10 rounds. The other two judges gave 8 out of the 10 rounds to Griffith. I mean, what were they watching? But Gaspar felt he won. But anyway, Griffith turned to be one of the best welterweight and middleweight champions in the history of boxing.
Exactly.
Anyway, going back to this coming week, Saturday, this weekend, we have...
Man, we got some good stuff. I'll tell you what. On the other side of the pond, we got... I mean, it's not just here in America where we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo boxing.
David Haye.
David Haye's fighting Tony Bellew for the second time. I mean, these guys are big names over there. They're exciting. Tyson Fury was talking about him in his press conference the other day. This is a pretty fun heavyweight match. And I hope you guys tune into that rematch because I know people on the other side, they're really excited about that.
Yeah, they're going to be a fight. They're going to draw 40,000, 50,000 fans.
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, they're drawing big over there in Great Britain. And here in Las Vegas, you know, we're looking for that Triple G and Canelo fight. They're going to have it at T-Mobile Arena. Hey, talk about T-Mobile Arena. Wow. The Golden Knights.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Can we talk about the Golden Knights?
Hey, last night, these guys, I mean, they were behind at the beginning. They tied it up. Then they went ahead. Oh. They got tied up again. Then at the end, the overtime, they pulled the game out.
And we almost lost it twice in overtime.
Yeah.
And then shout out to William Carlson. Shout out to the whole Knights team. They are just amazing, man. You make me so excited to live here and be part of it. It's
awesome. You know, can you imagine hockey in the desert?
It's just amazing.
In the desert. You can talk about maybe mountain climbers, but hockey with ice in the desert? I mean, you see some ice skating rinks around town. People say ice skating rinks in the desert, Las Vegas.
It's crazy, isn't it?
But now we have the hockey's in. We're one of the better teams out there.
We are. We're excited. I mean, I'd rather be in our shoes than anyone else's right now. We're looking good. We're looking good, especially after a disappointing game, too, to come back. I know it's not a hockey show, but I'm glad you shouted them out.
No.
Man, go Knights, go.
We have to, you know, really take our hat off to them. And the fans here in Las Vegas, the T-Mobile Arena, every time they play, it's sold out.
Oh, my God.
18,000 seats.
Every time.
Every time, you know?
So especially in this.
Yeah, I got my daughter, with my youngest daughter, Christine, and my granddaughters. They always, and my son-in-law, Eric.
Yeah.
They're always out there. Every they don't miss a game. They got some nice seats.
Do they got season tickets?
Yeah, season tickets.
Oh, good for them.
So they're always out there watching the show. We got somebody out there.
What's up, Charlie?
What do you think about the UK having so many champions?
What do we think about the UK champions here in the United States? There's too many champions in the UK. Okay.
They're just having so many. Like the fact that the UK now, whereas 10, 20 years ago, they didn't have a lot of greats. You know, you didn't hear a lot of UK fighters. But now.
You know, it's just like anything else. You know, they get to, like here in Las Vegas, they put it this way. We had no hockey fans in Vegas before. Now you got a team here, so everybody comes out for these guys. So same thing happens in Great Britain. You got a fighter like Anthony Joshua, becomes a champion. They got like all this following. Now everybody's coming out from all over. You got so many European fighters.
I think
you got
to give a lot of credit to Ricky Hatton. What he did to unify all those. You didn't see a lot of big UK fight fans before. I mean, you did. There were some, but he was the first real superstar that I'd seen in this era.
Well, you had Mia Khan as well.
Yes.
You know, but you had Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis, but they didn't really embrace him because he fought for Canada in the Olympics. And I mean, they do now, kind of, but back then, they didn't come behind him like they did Ricky Hatton.
Yeah, but now they all fight, they're behind Anthony
Joshua. They're behind Anthony Joshua, 100%.
But the sport in United Kingdom, boxing has really developed. I mean, soccer was big over there always, but now boxing is right there.
We were just talking about David Haye. We were just talking about Tony Bellew. We were just talking about Tyson Fury's press conference.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua. I mean, they got a ton of stars over
Joseph Parker. You got so many good fighters out in Europe that I think that gives you an answer why they had been developed. They've been working to get there. I would say, like, in real life, if you're going to get places in life, you got to work at it.
Yeah.
And that going to happen overnight, but you'll make it. You can make your dream
come
true.
It's all about star power, man. I mean, look at Kazakhstan right now. They got Triple G and that kid Yalusina.
Yeah.
We were talking about you going to Spain and doing that. I mean, one Spanish superstar going out there he would make the sport. You see it with Japan. You look at Thailand. The sport of boxing is huge there because they got a Nuye and Rungvisai.
Mexico, Puerto Rico. I mean,
they've had so many champions that they, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they
get. But all these other countries are falling into, now you have these sanctioning bodies that are out there. You know, I was recently in Madrid, WBC. And what they do, they grabbing these different groups, and we're encouraging these fighters and amateur ranks also as well to develop their talent, because if you develop your talent, you can become an Olympic champion or a decent amateur champion. You got a good chance to get out of the hole that they're in.
Look at boxing in the Philippines right now.
Yeah, a lot of these fighters go into the game because there's money for them. Manny Pacquiao did it. And by Manny Pacquiao, you get thousands of other youngsters in the Philippines. They get into the game because they want to become superstars.
All it takes is one superstar, man, and your whole country will rally behind that.
You know, you're inspired.
And next thing you know, gyms open up, and then you know, there's more star power, more everything. So, congrats to the UK for being the hub of boxing right now.
Exactly.
Boxing in 2018, you go on any forum. I was talking about I talk about the boxing subreddit on Reddit all the time, and it's like half English people on there, like half. And they're such a small portion of the world, but they're about half of the boxing fans on internet forums nowadays because they rally behind Joshua and everyone else so much.
I mean, I remember refereeing Jeff Fennec out there in Australia, and refereeing Jeff Fennec with a Suma Nelson that we talked earlier about here at Caesar's Palace. I mean, these fighters really come out. They have a lot of talent, but they just took a little time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
It took years and years, just like the referees and the judges have got to develop out in Europe. And now you see... Yeah, you don't see as many American judges and referees working in Europe because they got their own now. They're doing a great job.
Cultivating.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you got to give a shout out to the promoters too, especially like Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn has done such a great job of, I'll criticize him when he does some shady stuff or the other way around. Not shady, but you know what I mean? During certain negotiations, but what he's done to promote boxing in the UK, what he's done to promote Anthony Joshua and shape his whole career. Now what he's doing for Danny Jacobs and now Yalusinev, I mean, the guy's great at promoting. That's his job.
Well, you got to have good promoters in the game to make it happen. You got to also have the commissions. I take my hat off to the commission in the United Kingdom. They're doing a great job. I've met them and known them for many years.
That's a good question, by the way.
And, you know, they got the commissions are really stepping up all over the world. You know, they go to these conventions that we have, and even the commissioners come out to some of the seminars that are given. And they themselves learn to become even more professional and try to follow the steps of the commissions here in the United States, like Nevada, New York, New Jersey, California, you know, Texas. They have good commissions in Florida and some states that I may leave out, Philadelphia. You have a bunch of good in Pennsylvania. You have a lot of good commissions that are really working together, and they're all becoming better. That means you're getting better referees, better judges, and better matches. Here in Nevada, Bob Bennett, and the chairman, Anthony Martinell, they have worked so hard to make sure that we get even matches. We don't want to see overmatch. We don't see fighters get hurt. So, you know, that's what the commissions around the world. There was one incident that happened the other day, I must say. I was talking to a gentleman at a autograph signing thing that I went up to a fundraiser we do for kids in Henderson here in Las Vegas. And this one kid was telling me he wants to turn pro, but he was only born with one kidney. And so he had a kidney transplant. And he's talking about that he wants to fight. And he wants to fight. And this kid, Edgar, wants to fight in Mexico. And could get a license to fight here in California, he says, because of his issues. The kid is on dialysis. I know he wants to be a champion. He wants to be a fighter. And I give him all the courage, and I take my hat off to him. But he said he got a license in Mexico to fight in Mexico. And... And some part in Mexico. And I said, you know what? Wait a minute. I said, I love fighters, man. And I love you. I've never met you, but I want to take my hat off. I want to be your number one fan if you pass a battery of tests. But when I go into a battery of tests and just say, you're going to go out there and fight, you got a kidney transplant and you're on dialysis, how can a commission give you a license to fight? So I reached out to Mauricio Suleiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, to see, I sent him a copy of the video, and I wanted to see how we can maybe check with that commission and that jurisdiction
in Mexico?
Yeah, in Rosarito. And I wanted to make sure that this kid gets a battery of tests before having that one fight. He said, Joe, all I want is one fight, see if I can make it. My dream is to say I fought professionally. But I'm afraid that something may go wrong.
Of course.
And that one fight.
He fought Saturday and he won
that. Where did he fought Saturday?
And he won by
where did he fight at?
Is that one of our fans telling us that?
So I met him 2 weeks ago, and if he fought Saturday night, he won by knockout. Thank God he won, because I don't want to see nothing go wrong, but I want to make sure he gets a follow-up, because if you're fired, you're under dialysis. You know, that's something.
No,
it's tough. If you're under dialysis, that means something's wrong with your kidneys. If you have something wrong with your kidneys, you shouldn't be fighting. If he fought and won, thank God he did, but we got a follow-up with this case.
So I think to answer your question, which was a really good question.
Okay, so he fought in Rosarito and he won by knockout. But I want to make sure that his dream has come true. If he does what he wanted, then he should stop. But I mean, unless the commission or the doctors that approve him to fight, they say, yeah, I think the kid is, I think the world of him, he has a book coming out or a movie coming out called Round the 13th Round, which is great. I love it. I told him, if you pass these tests and they're okay for you to fight, I'll be your number one fan. We hugged. I love the kid, but I will watch him out for his safety. I'm not trying to stop him from anything. I just want to see him because I loved him so much the way he spoke to me. I said, I want this kid to be around for a long time. If he had his first fight and he had won by knockout, if he does what he wanted, more power to you. Now, let's go for the next step. Hopefully this will work out for you in the near future. We love you, Edgar. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, shout out, Edgar. I think to sum up kind of the answer to your question about the UK having so many champions now and, you know, having the fight culture that they have now, I think really what we just said, it starts from the bottom up, from everyone from judges, from referees learning and training and having the game, to superstars in the division, in every division, superstars coming from that country, to promoters, it's a ground up effort and all put together, it ends up having an amazing fight scene like what we see in the UK right now. And I couldn't be prouder of what they've brought to to everything, man.
Yeah, I want to see more of the younger talent out there, especially in the amateur rank. That's where you develop the talent.
That's how you keep it going,
You keep it going. So we got to work. We got to help out in the community. Fernando Vargas has a great gym here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
For Rolls Boxing Club in Las Vegas, in North Las Vegas. Then you got the Richard Steele Boxing Club, which is another good location. You got Barry's Boxing Gym. You got several gyms here in town
mm-hmm.
that these other kids, the young kids, are competing at on the amateur level. And that's what we want to see. Have good trainees, good trainers, and have good coaches in the gym that help out with the trainers. There's so much that they need to develop, but I want to make sure that these youngsters get a good physical before they start to compete. There's some younger teenagers and some adults that are going into the sport just signing up to the gym. But I got to say, reminder is get a physical before you go to any competition, because something may be wrong that you don't know about. And like anything else, you got to get a physical, show it to your gym owners when you go there, your trainers. I got my physical, this is my test, I passed all of this. He looks at it, you're okay. Don't take any chances, because it's better to be safe than to be sorry. I always feel like like a big brother, like a father image figure, I want to make sure that I'm protecting my guys out there, whether you're a youngster, teenager, an adult. I want to make sure you go on the right track and you succeed, make your dreams come true. But make sure, let's do it the right way. Because if you go about things the wrong way in life, which includes taking your physicals at least once a year, you're not doing the right thing if you're not doing that. So please follow up with that. What do you say about that, John?
I couldn't agree more, man. I couldn't agree more.
I mean, we could talk about so many things in boxing, but I'm talking about healthcare. I love you guys, and I want to make sure that we succeed and make it, and we could be part of what you're looking for, information, guidance, and we're going to be inspirational figures for you guys out there, because I did it. I did it the right way, and that's why today I'm still going at it strong. I love it. I love helping out, And anybody that wants to reach out to the Faber Firm Show, you guys have any ideas, want to put projects together, reach out to me. I'm open for anything, whether it's schooling, whether it's training, whether it's where we go in life, how do we get started, how do you become a referee. Many people ask me that. Go to your local gyms, work with the amateurs, get yourself a feel for in the ring. Then little by little, you do the amateur ranks, you do the Golden Gloves, then you go apply, but it takes you about 3 to 5 years to be in the amateurs before you even consider going pro. Then the professional, go to the gyms where the pros are sparring, see if they let you referee there with them after you got some experience in the amateurs. So then if they feel you're okay, you got the ring mechanics, you got the knowledge, then they'll turn you pro. That's how it happens, guys. But anyway, one day we'll have a big seminar here in Las Vegas. When I get hundreds of referees, come out. Just folks like you guys want to be referees? Send in a little note. We'll see, probably put a project together. Everybody come to Las Vegas. We'll do like a weekend seminar, get you all guys on the right track. Anyway, we'll be able to have some fun, have some champions there. I see that happening in the very near future. With that said, guys, I'm going to wrap it up and say, I'm fair but I'm firm. Keep your guards up at all times. John, if the right one will get you, the left one will.
I'm going to keep my guard up at all times then.
Okay, guys, take care. We love you. Take care.